Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hi guys, I'm Adam Wilborn from What Culture. Very pleased to say I am joined now by the nicest man in wrestling, a person we are very proud to say is a friend of What Culture's, Big E. Thank you so much for chatting to us today.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much. I don't think I can embrace that title though. Like, there's Rey Mysterio. I don't know if you've met Rey. He's up there. That's not me. But thank you very much.
So you've got a lot of tough competition. Okay, that's fair.
Yes.
Let's start with an obvious question, one you're probably sick of answering. How are you? How's the neck? How's recovery going?
No, I'm never sick of answering. It's always lovely that people ask and care enough. Recovery is going great. Right now, like, I got the doctor came back to me and things look good as far as, you know, my day-to-day life is very normal. I don't have issues with headaches. I don't have issues with function. I'm really grateful. Like, I feel normal. But, you know, getting into a ring and taking bumps, it's a little bit different than walking around and living your day-to-day life. But I'm really thankful for everyone who's reached out and everything. But I do genuinely feel great. I don't have any issues at all in my life. Just, trying to make the best decision for myself.
Yeah. That's the main thing. We often get messages, pitching you for matches or angles or whatever. And I think it's important for people to remember, like you say, first and foremost, that you're just back to able to just live your life normally and fingers crossed eventually we could see something like that happen. But just fantastic to see, from where you were especially and all that to where you are now. It's really great to see. And you look fantastic on the WrestleMania kickoff panel. We'll talk more on that later. But one of the things we're here to talk about is something that you and I sat down to talk about way back in 2021. Back then it was promoting the Kickstarter for the fantastic Our Heroes Rock project. And well, looking at it now, for those unaware, let's go from the beginning, the sort of genesis of this idea to where you are now with this NAACP Image Award nominated short film and this amazing reaction that Bridges has got. But yeah, let's start from the beginning. For those unaware, what is Our Heroes Rock?
So yeah, Our Heroes Rock is a project that I started with my partners, Andreas Hale and Jonathan Davenport. And really for us, the origin was, honestly, it was George Floyd. So, George Floyd happens. And I think too, so much of the reaction had to do with the fact that we were in lockdown. We were in a pandemic. We weren't traveling. At the time with WWE, we were still shooting shows all locally. So I didn't have to get on a plane at all. It was Orlando, which is about an hour and a half, 2 hour drive from my house. It was St. Pete, which is half an hour. It was Tampa, which is, just down the road from me. So, we were in a position where I didn't have the distraction of, this horrible thing happened, but I got to go on with my life and I'm going to be on a plane and, the normal hustle and bustle, I think that allows you to be distracted. So just sitting with something, this is the first time that the death of a stranger affected me so deeply. And, I had a lot of my non-Black friends reach out and they wanted more information or how can I help or what books should I be reading? And I spent more time thinking about it and thinking about my platform and what I wanted to do with my career outside of just being in the ring. And, I always, I tend to think of the saying of, like, to whom much is given, much is required. And I feel very fortunate that I've had all these opportunities and all these blessings in life. And I felt like, I have maybe done some small things to give back, but I kept feeling like I need to do more. It's something that I really wanted to do. And You know, my first thought, I was just kind of going on a walk and it kind of hit me. My thought was, oh, what if we did something akin to Schoolhouse Rock, but on our wrestling gear in that same style, but for Black heroes. Heroes is the term we use for these historically significant people in African-American history that have helped to shape our country and the world. And, you know, our thought was, you know, if people pause for a second while I was wrestling and looked at a name, you know, I think so much of our division as people, especially in this country, in America and just abroad, is our inability to see each other, to learn about each other. And I thought, you know, if we had gear that showed all these different historical figures, maybe people would broaden their understanding of what it means to be Black in this country, of kind of the ups and downs. So I thought it just could be a great educational tool for people. And it kind of started, the original idea was just, hey, let's do three or four. And then I just thought of some more names and the list became 17. And Johnny, who has designed our gear and has designed the gear for Bailey and for Ricochet and DIY and Cedric and a number of talent. And he's designed our gear for about a decade now. I just kind of floated the idea by him and he was really into it, thought he could replicate the style. And the cool thing, I remember I started wearing the gear backstage and I had a couple people backstage. I remember there was a PA who's in her 20s and there's a cameraman who was in his 50s and they both remembered the jingle from Schoolhouse Rock about how a bill becomes a law. And I love so much how music can do that, how you can have a jingle that you might have heard 20 years ago, but still kind of rattles around in your head. And I love that music can just be such a tool for teaching. And, you know, eventually we do all the wrestling gear run. We do that for a few months and then we're done with that. And then my buddy Andreas Hale comes in and says, this needs to be more than just wrestling gear. Like, what's the plan here? So the three of us, me, Andreas, and Johnny, we all sit down and we eventually get the idea to do a Kickstarter. And little did I know, Johnny is just the humblest man I think I've ever met. I didn't know at the time that he worked for Disney's Imagineering. He's done freelance work designing video games. He's written movies. He's just done all these incredible things. And we quickly realized, like, oh yeah, we can do a short film here. And he ended up writing it. Once we raised the money, and thankfully, thank you and your platform for helping us raise so much money. We were able to raise $130,000. And animation, especially 3D animation, is very expensive. So I also had to kick in money of my own. But even just having that amount of support, really just for us, it really demonstrated, yeah, we have people here who want this to come to life. And that was really beautiful for us. So we went from the Kickstarter campaign, raised the money, and then just kind of spent the last couple years or so writing and working on the animation and doing all those things and going back and forth with we have a team in India that we use for animation. We had a voice coach in Portugal. We have an artist who's in Australia. And I love that this really just kind of became an international project. And we got so much great work. We have an artist in Puerto Rico who was amazing, who did our music video. So it really just became a real labor of love for us. And we decided to tell the story of Ruby Bridges. And it was kind of a no-brainer when we were thinking about what story we wanted to tell, because you think of this little six-year-old girl in 1960. She's adorable. She's precious. She's just simply trying to go to school in New Orleans, integrating an all-white school for the first time. And, you know, it was just, I think for me, one of the really prescient things, one of the things that I just couldn't get out of my mind was the fact that she's still here. You know, you see these black and white pictures. She's still alive. She's younger than both of my parents. And I think so often we think of these stories as, oh, things from decades and decades ago. And sure, we're much better now and we're healed. But I think we still have so many of these same issues in our country and abroad. So we just really wanted to tell a story in a way that didn't feel heavy or pedantic. We didn't want it to be about finger pointing either or assigning blame. And I think that's so much of what our cultural landscape is I'm forced to take a side, you take the polar opposite side, and we butt heads. And that's, we didn't have an interest in doing that at all. And that's our hope, is that people watch the film and it doesn't feel divisive. It doesn't feel like someone is telling you that you're wrong or they're lecturing you, but simply telling a story about the power of bravery, of empathy, of the damage that racism, bigotry does to people, of all people, and what it does to you as well. You know, imagine being one of those people who is standing outside of an elementary school yelling at a little girl. There was someone brought a little black doll and had her in like a little casket. This is a six-year-old girl who is innocent, simply trying to go to school. And we really just wanted to tell her story. We thought it was a beautiful story. And also, we love the fact that, you know, it shows that you can be more than a bystander. We have Barbara Henry when all the other, you know, so many of the kids were pulled, like parents pulled their kids from the school. So many of the teachers, all the teachers said, we're not going to teach this little black girl. But Barbara Henry, who was, again, still with us, I think in her late 80s, but still alive, a white woman said, yeah, I'm going to teach this young girl. And it was for a whole year. It was Barbara Henry and Ruby Bridges in a classroom the entire year. And it really just shows you the power of, you know, when you're in a position to stand up and say something is wrong, that needs to change, that you can stand up and do the right thing. So it's just such a wonderful story, and one that we were happy to tell in a different way.
It's brilliant. I watched it again this lunchtime. It's on the Our Heroes Rock YouTube channel. We shared the trailer for Bridges on our channel as well. A fantastic short film. You've got that amazing Rhapsody song in there as well, which sort of encapsulates what you were saying about really putting out that message in song form that will stick with people. You yourself play Etor, the electronic tour guide for Maya. And yeah, it's a story not just about bravery, but about overcoming anxiety as well. It's fantastic. And it must be amazing to see subsequently this being shown and written about in classrooms now.
Yeah, no, that was always our goal. So I always get so excited and my heart is warmed anytime I get a text. Like yesterday, I got a text from a friend who lives in California, and she's an esthetician and is suggesting it to her clients who are teachers. And then getting a text that, yeah, her classroom, her sixth grade classroom actually watched it. And even like, hey, some of the students who think they're typically too cool for school are into it. So it's always, you know, getting, especially that age group, 12 to 13, to get them to care about a story like this is not always the easiest. So it's really incredibly touching, all the images, you know, from across the globe that we've gotten of it being played in schools has been really touching. So that's really what we've been spending this month, is trying to get the word out and trying to let people know, you know, this is a new endeavor. And I know oftentimes hearing about a Ruby Bridges cartoon from a pro wrestler might be something that might take a lot of people aback. Like, that might be hard to believe that would be any good, but you know, it's not good because of me. It's good because of the incredible partners that I have. So I'm really appreciative of them.
Yeah, I mean, your voice fits perfectly for Etor. It's a really fantastic performance in there as well. And like I say, it's well worth checking out. Not that you're doing it for this, but you know, Black History Month getting nominated for an NAACP award, that must really feel good.
Yeah, no, it does really feel good. More than anything, I think it helps give us some credibility to you know, for other people to check out. But yeah, we're excited about it, you know, just to be recognized by, you know, other people in the industry that, you know, we're entering. It feels great. So we're excited about it. And to it, you know, for us, it's an opportunity for us all as filmmakers and creators to come together and celebrate what we've done, because I know, you know, Johnny and Andreas, they have families, and I was asking them, especially during the pandemic, you know, asking a lot of them and pulling them away from their families, and for us to be able to come together and celebrate this thing that we did together, that we all love, is beautiful.
No, it's been an amazing process to see. I suppose technically it might not be the end. I mean, you're watching it. It's Ruby Bridges isn't the only person in the Hall of Heroes. Is that something you might pursue in the future?
Yeah, no, that's definitely our goal. Right now, we're kind of shopping around this idea of a series that is our goal. We just want to tell more of these stories. And like, more than anything, like, I think it's such a great vehicle to tell stories in Black history, But even beyond that, from, you know, just other aspects of history, even things that don't have to do with history. I just think the world building is something I really love. I think Johnny did such an amazing job with that. And we purposely designed the Hall of Heroes. So you have this room in this futuristic museum, but we also have these hallways and we don't know where those lead. And I think in our minds, like it's, you know, kind of the world is our oyster here. There's so much we can do. Especially as I get older, I really love being a kid's entertainer. And I think being able to use that to also teach messages about empathy and kindness and softness, you know, always like for me, growing up on Reading Rainbow, growing up with Bill Nye, the Science Guy, just all shows like that, that made learning, that made education, that made science or history, that made it fun and engaging and a lot more than, you know, like, let's sit down and open, here's your lesson for the day. That kind of, for me, is really my dream of what I would want to do outside of the ring, to be able to be a voice like that, that helps to teach these things in a way that's just more fun and engaging, is that's the pie in the sky dream.
No, a fantastic project. Congratulations to you and Andreas and Johnny, who's been great with us along through this journey as well. Go and check it out. It's the Ruby Bridges story. As you've never seen it before, it's called Bridges. It is on our Heroes Rocks YouTube channel. Do go and check it out and do support them because hopefully, yeah, we'll get more from these guys going forward. Bringing it back to wrestling now, E. I mentioned earlier you were there on that WrestleMania kickoff panel. As a fan, that was quite the experience. What was it like being there in person and being alongside the like? I thought you and Punk played off each other brilliantly. Obviously, you've got that history together. I know you've talked a while back about him, you know, saving your career arguably with a match you had over a decade ago. But yeah, talk me through that experience, because certainly as a fan going into that, we weren't sure how WWE were going to handle the whole Cody Rhodes, Rock, Roman situation.
Yeah, no, it was really interesting for me too. And I love not knowing. I love getting to be a fan too. And it's one of those things where I went in I wasn't really told much. I didn't really even learn. I was told I was going to be there. I just thought I was glad handing until I was on the plane to Vegas. And then I get the run of show and it's, oh, we need you for this panel. It's like, okay, all right, that works. And you know, and thankfully, like I have a good rapport with all those guys, so that definitely helped. You know, Cole's been great, especially the last few years, has been great to me. I've had this, you know, long friendship with Punk and same thing with Pat as well. So being up there with a bunch of guys that you have a rapport with definitely helps. Yeah, man, the energy was great. For us being there, one, it's Super Bowl weekend. We're in Las Vegas. Yeah. So just the energy of the town, there's a you know, big fight in town, Teofimo Lopez fight was in town as well. So just that energy was already there. But, you know, I obviously was really into paying close attention to the Cody story. I know, you know, my perspective is also different, because I think when I think of Cody, I think so much of not only his career and what we've seen, what he did in AEW, what he did as Stardust and his run, you know, dashing Cody Rhodes, all the stuff before then. So we've shared a locker room in WWE when I first came up. So there was that period, also being able to watch him from afar. But for me, my perspective is also, you know, being such a close friend of the Huber family, of Brody, seeing what Cody did for that family meant so much to me. And not just that, but time and time again, I would see stories of Cody just having a really special connection with fans, the way he would reach out to others. What he really built once he left the company just really blows me away. Like, I'm so impressed with his growth, the way he has touched others, like he's affected people. And so, like, to me, he has just kind of really organically put himself in a position to be the guy. And it's not just what he does outside the ring, the fact that he delivers, the fact that he can cut a promo the way he does, pretty much all the elements you would want out of a guy to be your flag bearer, and it was deserved. And to see him win the Rumble and then just say, I talked to The Rock and I was like, you got this, Dwayne, I'm gonna step back, I'm with everyone else in that, that's problematic. Winning the Rumble should mean something. And when you call out the guy right after winning the Rumble and you say, yes, you, Roman, up there, I want you, I'll see you at WrestleMania. And then a few days later say, actually. So, you know, it was a story that I was really into. I wanted to see how it all unfolded. And to me, there's so, I think what makes our industry so great is I love when so many different elements of stories all kind of intermingle together. So you have the history of Triple H, who is now running things, mm-hmm. the history with The Rock that goes back, you know, for decades. You now have, like, when Nick Khan first entered the company, I'm not sure anyone really knew about his history with The Rock. I saw a tweet when it was kind of explained that they grew up together and whatnot, and my mind was blown. So now you learn that The Rock is on the board as well. So he's kind of Cody's boss, and is he using his influence in ways he shouldn't? So there's just so many interesting elements all intertwined here. So yeah, I was excited to see how it all unfolded. But in many ways, you know, I thought, okay, The Rock is here. That alone is kind of enough. I thought in many ways that it would kind of be a paint by numbers unfolding of this press conference. I didn't really expect anything interesting, honestly, to unfold. I just thought we'd be there. Oh, you know, Cody's gonna pick Seth and, you know, people will be upset, but just deal with it. All right. Yeah. And I'm so glad that it wasn't that. So the energy was great, man. Just the several thousand fans who are in the building was really cool. I love, you know, there's a lot of talk online about this sports style shift with WWE and doing, you know, a little bit more of a sports centric focus on the way that we cover our product. And I think that was felt in a way. I thought the press conference, I love that it felt loose in ways. Obviously, you know, there were promos that were structured and that was clear, but it just felt more dynamic than some of the stuff that we've done like that before. So as a fan, just being there and watching it all unfold and getting that, having a great seat for all of it was really, really cool. You know, I think about that massive family tree as well.
Yeah.
Just so many elements, the F-bombs flying. It was a really, really cool moment being there. And the great thing was, I think when the broadcast ended, it left us with more questions than answers, which I really loved. You know, we still had at the time, I think it was about 58 days from then until WrestleMania. So you still have a lot, you know, as a viewer, I don't want things to be set in stone, you know, 60 days out. Like, let's keep telling the story. Let's see how it all unfolds. And now too, with WrestleMania being two nights, my thought is, it looked like we're building towards a tag possibly on night one, maybe. And then what does night two look like? There's just so many great questions. And for me, it is so exciting to see our product be in this position. And this is not just the one compelling story. You know, the stuff with Bayley and Damage Control is amazing too. It's just nice to not be in the creative doldrums right now. I think, you know, if you watch WWE, I would say, like, this is the one of the hottest periods we've had over the last like decade or so. So it was really cool to be there in person with that energy and see things unfold the way they did.
Yeah, I mean, I was sort of conflicted as well, because there was similarities, I'd say, to the sort of fan support that led us to Kofi Mania back at WrestleMania 35 of, no, this is the guy we've decided as fans, this is who we want. And, you know, previously WWE, I think it's fair to say, had sort of made the decision and plowed on with it regardless. But certainly with Cody now, and, you know, we were doing the sort of mental gymnastics of, right, how are they going to do this? Like you say, with the two nights of WrestleMania, Cody can't, after everything he said and everything that's happened previously. I was there at lucky to be there at 39, and I thought, well, that's an interesting call to have Roman go over there. And obviously you've had your run-ins with Roman in the past, and he is this, you know, Thanos-esque figure now, this unstoppable person who suddenly now has a seemingly bigger, older brother there that's part of this bloodline. And I'm still getting my head around how we've come to a point, where we potentially have night one, The Rock and Roman Reigns in a tag team versus the number one contender for Roman Reigns' title, Cody Rhodes, and potentially the World Heavyweight Champion, Seth Rollins, in his corner. And then night two, hopefully, Cody finishing the story. But yeah, watching that wave of fan support and the fact that the company now seems more open to listen to that sort of thing, it must instill a great deal of confidence in yourself and so many within the locker room.
No, very much so, man. It's if you're a fan of what we do, to me, like, it's all about storytelling. You want to tell good stories. And I think oftentimes in the past, we've been guilty of not telling good stories, of stories that have holes in them that don't play out in ways that make sense. And I think oftentimes with baby faces as well, we often bury our baby faces with the way they handle. And that's kind of what I think a lot of people were worried about with Cody stepping aside is, you know, it's hard to root for a guy who scratches and claws, but works his way up year, you know, time and time again, and then finally gets to that position and just says, nah, I don't want it. So, you know, that's just such a big thing for me, is making sure that we don't insult the intelligence of our fans. And I think with this current direction, I'm really excited because I think we're getting there. Mm-hmm. I think we're doing a better job of telling more complete stories, of paying stories off, of having people that fans are really behind, not just quietly shoved off to the side simply because we've decided this is the path we're set on and we're committed to it. We always, as a performer, one of the first things you learn is it's all about being able to take fans on that ride. And if we lose their trust, if we lose their ability to say, like, yeah, if you stay on this ride with me, it's going to pay off, we degrade what we do. We degrade our ability to bring them along on another story. How can I trust, you know? And I think we had in the past, we've had lapsed fans because of that,
yeah,
who were really into a story or who were really behind a character and then saw them time and time again not have it pay off, or for some reason it just all fell apart. So yeah, that's what I want. And just to have our fans feel like they're watching something that is worth their time and that their investment in the story is worth it.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Before we go any further, though, this show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Now, we all carry around different stressors. They can be big life worries or just, you know, little things like your favorite wrestler not being used properly. The thing is, when we keep them bottled up, it really can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever is weighing you down. It is really helpful too for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. Therapy basically empowers you to be the best version of yourself. So why not give BetterHelp a try? It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and best of all, suited to your schedule. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/whatculture today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/whatculture.
One of the big questions I got sent when I said I was going to be chatting to you today, off the back of that panel and the way you and Punk played off each other, and like you say, Cole and Pat as well, is the potential of you doing more commentary or you know, panels or things like that. Is that something you might be open to? Because I feel like it would be a real natural step for you.
Yeah, I appreciate that. It is also, it's interesting because I think about my time like starting off in the company, and by no means was I considered a good talker. You know, it took time for me to get more comfortable and whatnot. So for me to be able to stand by the side of a guy like Punk, Cole, Pat, all these guys who are great talkers, natural talkers who do this, you know, for a living, was really great. So I appreciate all the positive feedback. You know, it's something that I definitely would consider. And I do still definitely want to be involved with the company, regardless of what happens with my in-ring career moving forward. You know, I've been with the company now. It's been 15 years. It's been 15 years of my life that I've been signed with this company, a job that I took on a whim. And just, you know, it's been such an integral part of my life. So, yeah, it's definitely something I'm open to. I want to make sure, you know, we have some really great broadcasters. I think of guys like, you know, Vic has done such an incredible job. And, you know, many people speculated when things were getting shuffled around that maybe he would get moved up to Raw. So I definitely want to make sure that I'm not in a position where I'm kind of trying to leapfrog anyone who deserves opportunities or who's been grinding at it. But if it makes sense and there are other panels or there are other opportunities to come in, I'd love to. I think one of the issues, one of the problems is the bar was set too high. My first time was coming in with this Vegas Rock thing. So it's like we got a lot of work to do to make sure that everyone is as fulfilling and as enjoyable. But I'm definitely open to it. And it means a lot to me to see all the positive feedback about my time on the panel. So I really appreciate that.
15 years with the company, 10 years this year of the New Day, which is crazy to think about.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a long time. We are old. Our hairlines don't look the same. but yeah, man, it's been quite the journey. And we thought it's for like a year or so. We've been kind of eyeing the 10 years. And, it's not the same. I'm not around. And I told those guys, too, you know, as long as I'm out, please don't feel like you're beholden to me. Like my voice comes on at the beginning of the song every time and I'm not around. And I don't know if that's fair to those guys. And if you need a fill in with a third, feel free to, but they're always so adamant about like, no, this is the group. And I appreciate them ideally for that. But yeah, man, it'll be 10 years. I don't know what you officially consider the 10 years. You know, there was a summer, summer of 2014, where we come out in the Nation of Domination 2.0 type look. And that didn't last very long. Unfortunately, we were not pleased with that, but it honestly turned out for the best for us. But yeah, man, we've had a really an interesting run in many ways. Our brotherhood, our love for each other, we've talked about ad nauseum. Everyone knows all about that. But man, I'm just so appreciative to have really great partners and seeing, you know, even through the ups and downs, through the ebbs and flows of their career. They had an opportunity last year to go to NXT and do the stuff with Pretty Deadly, who they just speak so highly of. I think because Pretty Deadly, also their commitment to not just in-ring being interesting and creative in-ring, but also outside of the ring. I think it's one reason why Woods and Co. speak so highly of those guys. And I both just chatted briefly with both of them when I ran into them, I think at you know, at TV or at the hotel, and they seem like lovely human beings. So yeah, it's there's a lot that's happened over the last 10 years between, you know, the births of their kids, between you know, the broken necks, the WWE championships, the King of the Rings, the breaking records that have stood for 20 years. All so many things.
Hosting that, WrestleMania, of course.
Yeah, hosting WrestleMania, which, you know, I think back to so many people were like, man, it's a bummer you guys don't have a match. I'm so sorry you guys don't have a match. But honestly, like bringing out Jeff and Matt was, that's one of my career highlights. I didn't have a single thing to do with the match or any of those things. But just that moment, and I'm getting goosebumps again. You know, this happened years and years ago. But I love that it was a surprise that didn't get spoiled. People's excitement. I love seeing all the videos of people shooting themselves in the crowd and losing it when Matt and Jeff come out. All those special moments, man, to be... I feel so incredibly blessed to be a part of so many incredible moments. And when I look back to the one thing that I'm so proud of and, you know, just fulfilled by is that I enjoyed the hell out of that entire run, man. We had so much fun. The shenanigans we had on camera, off camera, riding together, getting to travel the world together, and still getting to do so many amazing things together. You know, earlier this year, we got to do the Drew Barrymore show together, and that was a blast. We got to help launch Tekken 8 in LA. We did a two-hour, like, New Year's Eve-style countdown show. That was a blast. So, yeah, man, those are guys who, you know, until our final breaths, I think we'll always be involved in each other's lives. And it's a selfish industry by nature. It kind of forces you to be with the amount of time you're gone, with the amount of time that you have to invest in yourself to make it. And I never fathomed that I would have or find such close friendships in this industry. And that's really been one of the most beautiful parts of my time in this company is the bond with those guys. So yeah, man, 10 years this year.
You sort of broke the mold as well. I think it's fair to say there was a blueprint for tag teams around that time, especially of they'll do some stuff together. They'll come together like you guys did, and they'll challenge for titles, and they'll win titles and they'll lose titles. And then when the time comes that we decide either one member or both members of this tag team need to move on to something else, then they will split and feud and what have you. And even when you went to SmackDown and did IC title stuff, and obviously Kofi winning the WWE championship, it, kind of unheard of around that time that tag teams wouldn't suddenly betray each other.
I know. But we fought for that, man. We were very vocal about it. And that's really why I think we lasted so long, is even being like pulled into the office and saying, this is the plan, and us saying, we don't want to do that plan. That was it. And we knew very early that we had something special just with our chemistry, even when no one else did. And to me, that's one of like the greatest life lessons and something that I'll always take with me. And I always have, is, you know, so often people will say, this is how things are done. This is how tag teams behave. This is how you need to structure your gimmick. This is all those things. And then same things that I heard about being serious and whatnot. But we fought so hard to be ourselves. We fought so hard to do something that we thought would work, even though we hadn't necessarily seen a precedent exactly like it. And don't get me wrong, of course, we were, we borrowed from guys like the Hardys. Of course, we borrowed from Edge and Christian. We borrowed from so many of the guys that came before us that made tag team wrestling fun. And we tried to take little bits and pieces. But just too often in this industry, people tell you, this is what you're supposed to look like. This is how you're supposed to, what wardrobe you wear. But we just really fought to try to do our best to be different, to stand out, to be unique. And at the time, kind of the mantra was, one of the things I learned in development, one of the things to tell you is like, hey, you probably don't really want to be in a tag team, because if something happens to your partner, you're screwed, or you're just going to get pigeonholed. So don't do that. Or, just some of these rules of wrestling, or funny doesn't make money, so don't try to do comedy stuff. And for us at the time, we just really looked around at the landscape of the industry, of the company, and no one, so many people were all wearing black or red. Everyone just wanted to be an ass kicker. And, when you have, at the time, a Mark Henry, who was doing, his run as a world champion, where he's mowing people over. I'm not as big as Mark, so why am I trying to be another Mark? Or like a Brock Lesnar, I'm not his size. Why am I trying to be in that vein? So for us, it was always, how do we set ourselves apart? How do we find our niche? How do we find a position that no one else can fill? And that's what we really tried to work towards, is just doing something that no one else was really doing. And I encourage more, if I have young talent or people in the indies who are coming to me and asking for advice, there are so many other people who can give you better advice about in-ring stuff, about what you can do technically, so many other things. But at least I think I can speak from my experience of what it's like to pitch a gimmick, to what it's like to try to do something outside of the box. And although the journey was not easy, I am so glad that we committed to doing things in a way that felt right to us. That was always it. We felt like if we can make ourselves laugh, it was worth doing. If it's interesting to us, we should do it. We weren't concerned about what does that hypothetical viewer out there, what do they want? Okay, let me fashion some idea or some promo that hypothetical viewer would enjoy. So no. What would make me laugh? What would make me think, oh, that's dope? What would make me get up out of my seat? And using that, like knowing like, okay, I think I have good taste. I think my partners have good taste. If we're all like, oh, that's brilliant. If we're all, oh, that's hilarious. Then yeah, it's worth doing. So I just encourage more young talent to take risks, to try things, to not just follow the mold of what has come before you. Just don't be so cookie cutter, and it's not necessarily going to be an easy journey, but it's worth it. I really think it's worth it. And of course, we had lucky breaks along the way. we had advocates in the writer's room. You know, Mike Notarelli was a writer that we always credit, because if it wasn't for him fighting for us in those rooms, we don't get these opportunities. So it's not just our merits. You know, we had people along the way and fortunate breaks as well that helped us get to where we got. But I'm really grateful that we stuck to our guns and that we weren't swayed. You know, we had so many people backstage who laughed at us in 2014, who told us this idea was stupid, who denigrated us. But instead of that driving us apart, it brought us together. Mm. And it was us against the world. It was kind of, that was our mentality of, we'll show you. All right, you don't believe in it? All right, you'll see. And I think just that mentality really served us well. And I'm grateful for it.
An amazing, yeah, decade for you guys. Obviously, classic feuds with the Usos. And now we're on the road to WrestleMania 14. And it appears that we are going to get Jimmy versus Jay at WrestleMania. Jay and Jimmy both having an amazing past 12 months, despite going off in very different directions. Brother versus brother, twin versus twin at WrestleMania. The question, of course, though, is, would they still be twins if they were born on different
days? How dare you? How dare you? Don't do this. Don't do this.
The one thing that will split the New Day.
That'll be it. That'll be the cause of the demise. That'll be it. Here's my thing. So afterwards, we get done filming. There's never a moment where they're like, that was a funny bit. There's never been a moment since. So I still, and I am afraid to really sit them down and ask, do you truly believe this? I'm afraid to. I don't want to know, I think. So part of me wonders, like, how much of it is trolling and how much of it is them really believing that that would make them not twins. It's scary. It frightens me. You know, we had a thing in this country called the No Child Left Behind Act. The problem is it didn't work. We left many children behind, many, many children. And unfortunately, I was sitting with a few of them.
But great to see, well, not great, obviously, in terms of those two fighting each other, but to see them going off in their own singles directions after so long just pigeonholed as a tag team, Jimmy and Jay.
Yeah, no, it's been beautiful to see them elevate. You know, oftentimes I think when you come in as a tag team, you think you have a certain ceiling and this is where you're at. And, you know, I think back to their run with the painted faces, the colorful baby faces, and how people, they did such an incredible job there. And then, you know, people kind of get sick of that because they, you know, they get sick of the white meat baby face. And then seeing them transition, you know, that really fun year of SmackDown in 2016, when the show was really changing and there's a true brand split, and seeing them really take off with their run as a tag team there as heels was incredible. So knowing their journey too, and man, we go way back, man. I've known those guys since the start of my career. You know, Jimmy first in developmental, and then Jay came a few months later. And man, as soon as they came, seeing how quickly, once that tag team in FCW was aligned, they were off to the races, and they add Tamina. And I still remember their debut. And, you know, in FCW, you're so proud of your guys when you see them on TV for the first time, and you think, man, like, they made it. The dream is there, because we just, at the time, you're just in this little warehouse. It's not like now where you don't feel connected really to the main roster. You're kind of on an island in many ways. And to see guys you grinded with, like, I've told this story a few times, you know, of just having to pick up Jay, because, you know, for a while in developmental, like, I would pick him up at his apartment because he didn't have a car, and seeing him go from that, just kind of scraping by us, you know, collecting our pennies to make sure that we could pay our bills and still train, to now this point of, you know, main event Jay Uso, seeing the crowd behind him, seeing, you know, that going from a long time tag team, especially as brothers, as twins, to a bona fide, you know, solo star, takes so much work, takes so much time. So I'm really happy for Jay and for Jimmy as well to kind of make their mark and to do something, you know, I'm sure in many ways this has been a childhood dream. To get to do this at WrestleMania, to have a big match against your twin brother is also special. So salute to them for getting to this point in their career and for all their hard work. You know, I think we aligned with those guys so quickly. And I think our feud was so memorable because we saw the craft so much of the same. You know, so many people are just too concerned about getting their stuff in, doing their moves, and for us it was just about captivating the audience. It was about telling a great story. It was about, like, two teams neck and neck, who is better, and one time they have the edge, one time we do. And I love that back and forth. It was really about all, like, the goal was for all of us to rise together. through that feud is that we all come out better. Not for me to look better than you. That not my goal is to make sure that you're shoved down, that I mute your offense or I mute your ability to get over so that I can look better. But it's really about telling the best story that we can so that we all rise.
Yeah, and I'll never, and I mean, obviously you've had some amazing matches, but I'll never forget that moment on the road to Kofi Mania where they forfeit the tag match. I thought it was so emotional and powerful. I absolutely loved that. Sticking with Woods and Kofi, though, they are in action, of course, this coming Monday on Raw in a street fight against Imperium. What do you make of Imperium? And my God, Gunther's a terrifying man.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Man, they've done all of my New Day bias aside. Imperium has done a really incredible job on the main roster. You know, and there were times earlier where you wondered if they were going to be split. And I'm such a fan of factions. So seeing more factions the last couple of years has really been great. And Gunther's been on a really incredible run, a special run. And I love that he's just so different. His style doesn't, to me, remind you of anyone else in the company. Right now, you buy everything he does. You buy everything he says. He has a level of intensity that I think is almost unmatched. You know, and he and Sheamus were such a good pair because those guys both bring it in very, very, very physical ways. And, you know, what they did at Mania, the match with Drew, too, was just so good. So, yeah, man, it's the stuff with Imperium has been great. And I love that it's brought out a different side of Woods and Kofi. We obviously love the fun-loving stuff as we've done to death. But I love when, you know, someone is able to bring out that intensity in us and that next level. And I'm really excited to see what they do on Monday to see what the street fight looks like. I know it's going to be creative. I know it's going to be intense. I know it's going to be physical and all those things. So, yeah, man, it's a salute to Imperium, what they've done, the grittiness that they bring, because they really help bring out another side of talent. And that's what you want to see. And that's what you're looking for.
Well, let's talk meat.
Good segue, real yeah. Good. So, okay, let's talk meat. All right, yes.
What's the latest on this Meaty Men Invitational then? And you must be great for you to, you know, tune into Raw and, you know, you see the likes of Ivar and Bronson Reed, and when they collide, people are literally chanting the word meat. it does seem to be potential. I mean, AEW literally just announced Meat Madness, I believe, for Revolution. It's taking hold, this thing.
It really is. I did not anticipate. It's been like, I think it's been close to 5 years since that absurd podcast rant. So for one, I want to make it clear. I cannot take credit for this idea. It was apparently Ivar's idea. He's pitched it. Woods told it to me. And then I decided, let me help to broadcast this idea. I'd love to see it come to fruition. But no, man, I think it's been really cool. You know, when I first started in this industry, really the focus was on heavyweights. Everyone had to get bigger. When you're in FCW, if you're around 200 pounds, they tell you, you know what, you could really benefit from putting on another 40 pounds. So I think that was what people were accustomed, like what wrestling was, you know, like Kozlov, when I first got into the company, was getting a push. Ezekiel Jackson was getting a push. Yeah. So you're used to like, all right, your mainstays typically are going to be very big guys. And then, you know, I think with a lot of the ROH-led influence with Punk, with Rollins, with Bryan, you start seeing more guys who are not, you know, the ultra heavyweights. So style shifts a little bit. So it's been so interesting now that the meat division feels like kind of what the cruiserweights used to be in different ways. You know, it's because the focus has shifted. You know, fans want to see guys who are better workers and not just the beefiest men possible. But the great thing is now we have, I think that transition has really led to more big guys who don't just do shoulder tackles and no sell, like big guys who are athletic. And like seeing Ivar do the whoopee cushion off the top rope, it just, you know, just incredible things. So now you have big guys doing really athletic things, really impressive stuff. And I think that's exciting for fans. And I think about all the guys right now who might not necessarily have a position going into WrestleMania. And, you know, typically there is some kind of, there might be an IC title, a ladder match where you throw in, you know, like 6 to 8 guys who are all really talented and deserve to be on that card, but don't necessarily have a story. Or last year you had that, you know, a lot of people were kind of poo-pooing the, that multi-man tag team match. And it was awesome. Yeah, it was awesome. It was so good. Yeah, a ton of fun. And I think this year would be a great opportunity to do something really fun with the heavyweights, you know? Like, let's get them all in there. Let's get an Amos. Let's get an Ivar. Let's get a Bronson Reed. We'll see what Bobby Lashley's doing. I think we have enough bigger guys. And, you know, too, seeing what Ivar's done, I think what's really cool is, you know, sometimes when your partner is hurt, you can kind of be on ice, but he's really taking this opportunity to like, showcase what he can do. So, you know, we have enough big guys on the roster right now where I think something like that would be really fun. Fans are really into this meaty men nonsense. They're into it. We have, whether it's an Arby's, whether it's a Slim Jim, you know, Slim Jim's already on board as a sponsor. Just anyone who is a purveyor of meat, anyone who brings in a lot of meat, I think that's a great, you know, WWE, obviously, we love to put sponsorships on anything possible. So we could sponsor that bad boy. Maybe some kind of a large meat stick as a trophy, an award. There's a lot to be done here. So, again, I'm not the originator of this idea. I am just a supporter of it. And yes, I'm a fan of all the meaty, beefy style matches. And it's been really fun to see people chant the nonsense that has kind of run around in my mind for a little bit. So yeah, I'm excited. I have no idea if any of this is going to happen, but I want it to happen at WrestleMania.
Yes, I agree. The campaign starts here. Yes. So who's on your sort of meaty man Mount Rushmore?
Ooh, this is a very, very good question. I was a huge Vader fan as a kid. I got to put Vader on there. I love that he was, you believe everything he does. An athlete. I believe he played, did he play in the NFL? I know he played college football, but I think he played football. Anyways, so I'll put Vader there. I'm a Scott Steiner guy. I love Scott Steiner, man. Especially early in his career, being super athletic, but still powerful, like that blend of athleticism, the amateur wrestling background, an incredible promo. And one you can't really replicate. Just the mind of Scott Steiner is one that I would like to inhabit at one point. Like there's a movie with Vincent D'Onofrio called The Cell, Jennifer Lopez, where they enter like the mind of a serial killer. I'm not saying, like, I feel like his mind would just be very vivid. I feel like there'd be a lot going on in Scott Steiner's mind.
Astonished they gave him a microphone at the Hall of Fame. I was terrified and excited at the same time. Yeah.
So let's go Scott Steiner. We'll go Vader. I was a Ron Simmons guy too, man. Like Ron in his prime, whether it's Farouk, you know, funny teal hat aside, I loved him as a kid. I just thought the way he tossed guys around, you bought him as a badass, all those things. So I'll put Ron, and now I got to think about my fourth spot. You know what? I'd probably go Andre. I gotta go Andre. You know, I got a little love to he's a legend. So we'll go Andre for that final spot.
I forgot to ask you earlier when we were talking Gunther, who's your pick to finally dethrone him?
Man. Look, obviously they were going in a different direction for Mania, what we all have read, but the Gable story.
Yes.
I am such a fan of Chad Gable. I have long been a fan of Chad Gable. Outside the ring, just a great, phenomenal dude. All that aside, just what he brings into the ring is special. That rolling German, I remember we wrestled, and I was at the time, I was over 300 pounds. The way he's able to lift me up with ease is incredible. What he does athletically, his strength, his amateur wrestling background, really what he's done now as a promo, his ability to, like, his connection with fans as well. His story is so visceral, seeing the stuff with his daughter at ringside, his family, all that stuff. The story, I just felt like the way they left it felt open-ended. It felt like, man, I don't want this to be the end for Chad Gable on his run to dethroning Gunther. So that is my pick. That is who I want to see. And I think so often at WrestleMania, we're always trying to find big attractions and big matches. And sometimes your biggest matches are with guys who are mainstays on the roster. And they don't always have to be part-timers. So Gunther versus Gable for one alliteration, you know, that alone, just that helps. So, yeah, I'd love to see that for Chad. I'd love to see him win. I think that moment at WrestleMania would be massive. You have the, in many ways, there's a David versus Goliath story. There's a story of Gable, a guy who's long been underutilized, getting that opportunity, seeing what he's done with Maxine and Tozawa and Otis has been so much fun too. So he's a guy who I don't think he's ever had singles gold in the company, and he's deserving, and I'd love to see him get that opportunity.
One final question before you head off. You were a star of NXT, of course. You rose up, and the way that developmental has changed and evolved now is fascinating to see. I'm a huge fan of the current version of NXT. We've just seen Bron Breakker literally sign a contract to join the main roster. Tiffany Stratton's just joined as well. She's going to be in the Elimination Chamber this weekend. But who are you keeping an eye on right now in NXT? Who are your picks for real future stars from down there?
And Trick.
Yes.
Trick's been doing his thing. Yeah, it's I love, and to, I guess, kind of, you know, I started on the main roster as a heater, as, you know, just kind of the side piece in many ways. It's a little different, his role with Carmelo when he first really started. But actually, I'd forgotten that he was one of Apollo's soldiers or whatever. Yeah. He did that briefly when Apollo and I were feuding during that run that, in many ways, this is no shade on Apollo. It's just the stuff with the sword, the stick with the, I don't know. Anyways, the fake, the accent and everything. We don't need to get into it. But anyways, seeing him go from that position to being Melo's, sidekick to now, I got to see him afterwards, but seeing the reaction on the main roster when they're chanting it, when they get it, when they haven't even had, like, there hasn't been vignettes on the main roster for him. There hasn't been a real proper introduction in many ways, but it's like people are watching and they're behind you and they're getting it. And I love that. And he's so charismatic, and seeing him improve, like he's the kind of guy who's going to put the work in. He's just going to keep getting better and better and better. And I think oftentimes, and I'm not saying this with him, but I think oftentimes with younger talent, people write off young talent because they're being thrust on TV to get experience at early points in their career, and they need time to grow. Like I look back to so many of my earlier matches in NXT, even my earlier matches, first couple years in the main roster, and I cringe because I wasn't as ready as I thought. I just needed those reps. And it's just been great to see Trick's growth, to see him get better and better. He's done really such a great, great job. And I'm excited for what he does on the main roster. He looks the part. He talks differently. He's got a certain swagger about him. And it's been really cool to see his rise in NXT. And I'm excited for what he does on the main roster, because I know the time is coming. But yeah, he's a burgeoning star that I'm excited to see continue to grow.
Absolutely. Well, it's been an absolute pleasure to chat to you as always. Best of luck with the future of Our Heroes Rock. Go and check out Bridges, the Ruby Bridges story on Our Heroes Rock's YouTube channel. You can still support them, hopefully for future projects as well. But yeah, check it all out. Bridges on Our Heroes Rock. Biggie, thank you so much for chatting to us today.
I appreciate you. Thank you, Adam.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hi. This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode, and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.